Hi there, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is a study on the Feast of Tabernacles. This paper is found in the calendar menu at www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com.
Click the drop-down arrow to open the menu.
There are seven feast days. The Feast of Tabernacles is the seventh of seven. The Feast of Tabernacles is the last feast of the fall holy days. It culminates on the eighth day of this feast, which is referred to as the last great day. All seven of the feast days reveals the plan of Yahweh the Father, the sacrifice of his Son, Yeshua Christ, and the redemption of the children of Israel, the flesh and blood household of the covenants and promises. And these feast days are reminders of our family history. The seven feast days are Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, also called Wave Sheaf, and Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, followed by the Last Great Day. Did you know the gospel message can be found in every feast day? The gospel message is the message of the good news, the news of our Savior, and that He died for our sins. But it doesn't stop there. It is the good news of the regathering and reconciliating, educating and teaching of our people who are lost and walking in darkness. When the gospel is preached, its message is to the children of Israel, because every one of these feast days is part of the plan of reunification between scattered Israelites and Yahweh. Isaiah 9:2, the people who were walking in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, a light has shone. Matthew 4:16, the people who sat in darkness saw a great light, and upon those who sat in the land and shadow of death, light arose to them. John 8:12, then spake Yeshua again unto them, saying, I am the light of the society. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Matthew 10:6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael. Passover is celebrated as a reminder that Yeshua died to pay the penalty of our sins during his first advent. The angel of death passed over the Israelites' houses that were covered with the blood of the Passover lamb. Romans 4:7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. The gospel is celebrated in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which reminds us that we must put the sin out of our lives. John 5:14. Afterward, Yeshua found him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you. It is a reminder that Yahweh took our ancestors out from bondage and idolatry in haste, gave them the law and the feast days to keep us walking in the way, and in remembrance that He chose us. If we claim that we are covered by His blood, then we must sin no more. We must continue to obey the gospel, which is part of the commandments and connected to the feast days. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, Yeshua will be returning with His Malachim, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Master Yeshua Christ. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? The gospel is celebrated in the Feast of Weeks, also called Wave Sheaf, and Feast of First Fruits. It represents the resurrection of Yeshua Christ from the dead. It is symbolic of the first fruits of God's calling, and begins the 50-day countdown to Pentecost, which means it's time to go out and witness to your kinsmen of their kinsman redeemer. When one responds to this good news, then they are your presentation of first fruits, which can now receive the Holy Spirit, because the gospel is celebrated in Pentecost. When you do that which is right in the sight of Yahweh, you receive the Holy Spirit, which is promised to those who obey Him. Acts 5:32, and we are His witnesses of these things, and also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. The gospel is celebrated in the Feast of Trumpets, because the trumpet is a warning and a call to preparation that Yeshua is coming. Time to repent, for the reign of Yeshua is near. Ezekiel 33:7.
So you, O son of Adam, I have set you a watchman unto the house of Yisrael. Therefore, you shall hear the word from my mouth, and warn them for me.
Colossians 1:28. Yeshua, whom we announce, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Yeshua. The gospel is celebrated in the Day of Atonement, which is a time to repent and to fast, which means to humble yourselves and deny food, water, and worldly things for the day. When one hears the gospel, is not repentance required in order to give yourself over to Christ? Psalm 69:32. The humble shall see this, and they that seek Elohim shall be glad, and your heart shall live. Matthew 4:17. From that time Yeshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Master, and he shall lift you up. The day of Yeshua's baptism was on the Day of Atonement on the Hebrew calendar. The gospel is celebrated in the Feast of Tabernacles, because when you have atoned and repented, you are now cleansed and can dwell in the safety of Christ. It is a reminder of when Yahweh dwelt among our Israelite ancestors in the wilderness in tents, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It is also symbolic that we will dwell in safety when he returns in flaming fire. Exodus 29:45.
And I will dwell among the children of Yisrael, and will be their Elohim.
Psalm 61:4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of your wings, Selah. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The gospel is also a reminder of the last great day of this Feast of Tabernacles, which represents the judgment day and end of this evil age and the beginning of the kingdom age. Isaiah 25:9. And it shall be said in that day, see, this is our Elohim. We have waited for him, and he saves us. This is Yahweh. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his deliverance. Peter reminds us that true knowledge is the key. He states the importance of having scriptural knowledge and discerning it from corrupt worldly knowledge and church doctrine. Correct knowledge brings fruits of righteousness. Be a profitable servant with the knowledge Yahweh gives you. 2 Peter 1:11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Christ. James 2:5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not Elohim chosen the poor of this world rich in belief and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. These feast days are all over the Bible. They are the gospel message within the heritage and appointed days of our people, and reveals the plan of repentance, redemption, reconciliation, remembrance, obedience, and salvation. The gospel is a call to repentance, to putting away the old sinner and putting on the new, educated, obedient Christian. And it's a call to live according to the way, which includes all the commandments and appointed days given to our people. The gospel is a return to our identity and heritage, to our Christian way of lifestyle, and to our God. We as Americans observe the 4th of July, March and Lutin and Killin Day, Cinco de Mayo, and gay pride events. The last three are not even days a true white American Christian Israelite should celebrate. And sadly, America has been a Jewish corporation since 1871. But it's okay to shun Yahweh's appointed days and observe pagan and demonic holidays, like Christmas, Ishtar Easter, and Devil's Night, Hallow's Eve. Paul kept the feasts, and he taught to keep them, Acts 18:21, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if Elohim will. And he sailed from Ephesus. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christians kept the Feast of Tabernacles throughout history. The first Christians continued to observe the festivals, Yahweh's festivals, though in a new spirit, as commemorations of events which those festivals had foreshadowed.
Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition, volume 8, page 828.
According to Saint Jerome, Polycarp also kept the Feast of Tabernacles in the 2nd century in Asia Minor. Polycarp, AD 69 to 155, was a 2nd century Christian bishop of Smyrna. According to the martyrdom of Polycarp, he died a martyr, bound and burned at the stake, then stabbed when the fire failed to touch him. Polycarp is regarded as a saint and church father in the Eastern Orthodox, Catholic, Anglican, and Lutheran churches. His name Polycarp means much fruit in Greek. It is recorded by Irenaeus, who heard him speak in his youth, and by Tertullian, that he had been a disciple of John the Apostle. Saint Jerome wrote that Polycarp was a disciple of John, and that John had ordained him bishop of Smyrna. Because the Smyrnian letter, known as the Martyrdom of Polycarp, states that Polycarp was taken on the day of the Sabbath and killed on the Great Sabbath, some believe that this is evidence that the Smyrnians under Polycarp observed the seventh-day Sabbath. It is claimed that the Great Sabbath is alluded to in John 7:37. Here it is referred to as the last day, that great day of the feast, and is a separate annual holy day immediately following the Feast of Tabernacles. The Great Sabbath is a high holy day which closes the seven-day Feast of Tabernacles, a high Shabbat. In the late 3rd or early 4th century, Greco-Roman bishop Saint Methodius of Olympus taught that the Feast of Tabernacles was commanded to be observed by Christians and that it held valuable lessons for them. He wrote,
We are commanded to keep the feast to the Messiah, which signifies that, when this world shall be terminated at the 7,000 years, when God shall have completed the world, he shall rejoice in us.
As time went on, its observance was increasingly considered heretical by the developing Catholic Church. In the 4th century, Epiphanius of Salamis discussed Nazarene Christians who kept the holy days in various locations in his time, a practice which he considered heretical. John Chrysostom of Constantinople commented that people who professed Christ in his area were also observing the Feast of Tabernacles, which he also considered heretical, as did Saint Jerome in the 4th and 5th centuries. John Chrysostom preached against the fall holy days in 387 AD.
The festivals of the pitiful and miserable Judahites are soon to march upon us one after the other, and in quick succession, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Fasts. There are many in our ranks who say they think as we do. If the Israelite ceremonies are venerable and great, ours are lies.
Notice the following report related to the Middle Ages. The Waldenses recognized that they were the true successors of the Apostolic Church. They kept the Sabbath, also the yearly Passover, and each September or October, in God's seventh month, they held at the headquarters church a great conference. What could this gathering have been but the Feast of Tabernacles? Under the name of Pasagini, we have the clearest sort of statement that these people, about 1200, observed the whole Old Testament law, including the Sabbath and festivals. People called Cathars at Cologne, Germany, kept a fall festival called Malilosa, even before Waldo began to preach. Compare this unexplained name with the Hebrew Melila, a harvested ear of grain, and the biblical title, Feast of Ingathering. How much more we might have known about these Middle Ages Feast of Tabernacles had not the Inquisitors so zealously burned the records. The old Ambassador College reported that some of the American Sabbath keepers may have kept the Feast of Tabernacles back then. The church in Rhode Island became the mother church in the United States. It grew slowly for about 30 years. Then in 1708, the enlarged and geographically widespread Newport congregation was officially constituted into two congregations. The Westerly, or Hopkinton, congregation retained the original records, being recognized as the leading or headquarters location. The reason for this transfer is most interesting. Previous to this time, the Westerly, or Hopkinton, site had become the regular meeting place for a yearly meeting of members from all over. It was at such a meeting, on September 28th, that the decision was made to establish the new congregation. This date falls during the Feast of Tabernacles of that year. In 1588, the Zechler Sabbatarians of Transylvania, united under the Unitarian nobleman Andras Aosi, observed Christian versions of all the biblical holy days, including the Feast of Tabernacles. They also rejected the observance of Christmas, Easter, and New Year's Day. Within a decade, they grew to be represented in many towns and villages, mainly centered in the towns of Zecheli Cărescer, today the Romanian town of Cristiru Secuiesc, and Coropatac, today Bodoc, and a number of Hungarian villages. They developed a hymn book with songs specifically for the Christian observance of the holy days. In 1900, the Feast of Tabernacles was formally celebrated by the Southern Baptists at Falls Creek Encampment. There are pictures of the original Falls Creek Tabernacle with the blowing of the shofar to call to service. It was also celebrated heavily among those in the South, known as Bush Arbors, as late as the 1960s. Gathering of Israel, the day on which President Brigham Young led the Latter-day Saints people into the Valley of the Great Salt Lake, was Saturday, the 24th, July 1847. That day is celebrated as a Utah state holiday every year and is very important to members of the LDS Church. It turns out that the day was also the Feast of Tabernacles on the fixed Enoch calendar, which is Ethanim 15 on the Hebrew calendar. Again, the particular holiday involved may be significant, because the Feast of Tabernacles is associated with events of the latter days. It is also called the Feast of Ingatherings, and seems to be symbolic of the gathering of scattered Israel in the last days. And the fall holy days are still observed into the 21st century by many Sabbath-keeping Church of God groups, like the Continuing Church of God. When our ancestors came from Europe to America, the early Plymouth Colony settlers, pilgrims, who were English separatists founded in 1620, had fled from the religious persecution of the Church of England and Catholicism, which didn't keep the divine requirements and taught against them. Being Israelites, whether they knew their true identity or not, followed the law on their hearts and continued celebrating Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. Our American Thanksgiving national holiday came about from these fall feasts. Our people escaped persecution and bondage by going to new lands and were blessed by Yahweh. America is the regathering place of the 12 tribes of Jacob, as prophesied. The command to observe the Feast of Tabernacles, Leviticus 23:33. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying,
Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month, Ethanim, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Yahweh. On the first day shall be a high Shabbat. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. On the 8th day shall be a high Shabbat unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. It is a meeting of set-apartness, and you shall do no servile work therein. These are the appointed feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be high Shabbats, to offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, as commanded for every day, beside the Sabbaths of Yahweh, and beside your gifts and all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which you give unto Yahweh.
We don't do these offerings by fire and grain, sacrifice and drink, any longer, because there is no temple or priesthood anymore. The priesthood and its ordinances expired, or were done away with, when Christ died and became our high priest. He is now our mediator to Yahweh. We are to observe the feasts without the sacrifices and burnt offerings, because Christ fulfilled those. It is now about fellowship with our kinsmen, living, learning, teaching, proclaiming, and worshiping Yahweh. We set off fireworks, eat hot dogs, and get all patriotic on the 4th of July, but our people won't set up tents and fellowship with food and the word and praise Yahweh on his holy days? Verse 39.
Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall celebrate a celebration unto Yahweh 7 days. On the 1st day shall be a high Shabbat, and on the 8th day, the last great day, shall be a high Shabbat.
Today, we gather the food from the garden or the grocery store, but this is also talking about gathering the fruit of your witnessing, meaning inviting the newbies to the truth to learn and join in into their heritage, which the churches have been hiding from them. Because the churches teach that these are Jewish feasts, and that you are a Gentile. Verse 40.
And you shall take you on the 1st day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim 7 days. And you shall keep a celebration unto Yahweh 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month.
The Festival of Booths, or Tabernacles, observing the memory of our ancestors when they were led out of Egypt, and celebrating Yahweh for it. Time to camp out and respect and observe our history and our God. Verse 42.
You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Yisrael to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim. I am Yahweh your Elohim.
And Moshe declared unto the children of Yisrael the appointed feasts of Yahweh. This is exclusive, explicit, and demanded of Yahweh that all that are born Israelite shall celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. What part of solemn assembly, keep, celebrate forever, all that are Israelites, all generations of Israelites, sacred meeting of set apartness, and holy convocation, do you not understand? If you are a white, Adamic, Anglo-Saxon Israelite, then Yahweh is speaking to you. If you are not an Israelite, then these appointed feasts are not for you. If you identify as a trans-Gentile, then the churches have taught you to ignore Yahweh's feasts and have fooled you into believing that you are a Gentile, and as a result, you don't know who you are, and you are missing the mark of duty, which is sinning. It matters what and who you believe. Now let's examine all the verses in relation to the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. Genesis 33:17. And Jacob sojourned to Succoth, and built him a house, and made booths for his livestock. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. Succoth means booths. The Feast of Succoth. It is commemorative, called the Feast of Tabernacles. The children of Jacob would eventually live like this during the Exodus and time in the wilderness. This is a foreshadow of that feast day event. We Israelites are still to observe it, which usually happens in October, as a reminder and celebration of our heritage and when Yahweh took our ancestors by the hand out from Egypt. Exodus 23:15.
You shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it you came out from Mitzrayim, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the firstfruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, the feast of booths, which is at the end of the year, when you have gathered in your labors out of the field, 3 times in a year all your males shall appear before Yahweh Elohim.
The 3 appointed feasts here are the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, also called Wave Sheaf and First Fruits, and the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Weeks are the spring holy days. The Feast of Tabernacles are part of the fall holy days. The command given again, Exodus 34:22.
And you shall observe the Feast of Weeks, which is the countdown to Pentecost, of the firstfruits of the wheat harvest, the wave sheaf, and the Feast of Celebration of Ingathering, the Feast of Booths at the year's end. 3 times in the year shall all your men children appear before Yahweh Elohim, the Elohim of Yisrael. For I will cast out the nations before you, and enlarge your borders. Neither shall any man desire your land, when you shall go up to appear before Yahweh, your Elohim, 3 times in the year.
Keep this memorial, and we will not have enemies and nothing to fear. Yahweh will guard us. But the churches have successfully removed the protection of Yahweh from them, because they've taught our people to identify as trans-Gentiles, who believe that these are Jewish feasts. Out of all 7 appointed feast days, the churches only celebrate Passover on the wrong day, to the wrong Jesus, and with a mouth full of pork. The 6 other appointed times a year, the churches spit in the face of Yahweh. Actually, the churches are lukewarm all the time because everything they believe is based on false doctrine. The Great Falling Away is a reference to today's churches. Speaking of the age of Laodicea, which we are now in, Revelation 3:16, so then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Numbers 29:12.
And on the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall have a high Shabbat. You shall do no servile work, and you shall celebrate a celebration unto Yahweh 7 days.
Verses 13 through 34 are the Levitical ordinances of the offerings during the 7 days of the Festival of Booths. Those ordinances are what expired when Christ died, but the festival and its memorial continue, because it's our heritage. Christ and his taught ones attended the feasts, and they continued to keep them after he ascended. A holy convocation is a high Shabbat. Holy means sacred, set apart. Convocation is a calling together, a sacred assembly. The only set apart and called people are the children of Israel. This feast is a celebration of a set apart, chosen people. If you are an Israelite and do not celebrate what Yahweh has done for you and your ancestors, then you are denying Yahweh. Matthew 10:33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Denying his set-apart days is denying him before men. The churches deny his appointed days, and the congregants deny these feast days before all men. Matthew 26:34. Yeshua said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that this night, before the cock crow, you shall deny me thrice. This can also read, that this year, before the year is over, you shall deny me 6 times. The churches will celebrate Passover, but not any of the 6 other appointed days or his laws. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. When we keep Yahweh's appointed days, we endure by his preservation. Why would he preserve us if we do not acknowledge and observe his solemn feasts? Endure means to remain, abide, continue. Continue in what? Just believing or participating? Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. The churches profess that they believe and know God, but they deny him because they don't do his appointed works. The churches say,
but these are Jewish feasts,
or
they were done away with.
So why then do they only keep the Passover? The churches are ignorant and deceived, and ignorance is no excuse. They don't even have a clue that they are not even celebrating Passover. They are celebrating Easter, the pagan orgy day of the Canaanite fertility goddess Ishtar. Numbers 29:35.
On the 8th day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the last great day, you shall have a solemn assembly, a meeting of holiness, a meeting of set-apartness. You shall do no servile work therein.
The 8th day of the Feast of Tabernacles is a high Shabbat. No servile work is to be done on the 1st and 8th day of the feast. It's like the parable of the foolish virgins who didn't trim their lamps and were found in the market on the last great day, working, buying, selling, mingling with the pagans who don't celebrate the feasts, serving the society and beast system. They are outside the tabernacle of fellowship on the last day, and when the door is shut, they will find themselves left out. Deuteronomy is a repetition of the law. The Israelites were camped just east of the Jordan River, making preparations for crossing into Canaan. They were again being reminded of Yahweh's commandments, statutes, and appointed days, because Israelites are set apart from all other peoples, and this is our heritage, which we are to observe forever. Deuteronomy 16:12. And you shall remember that you was a bondman in Egypt, and you shall observe, guard, and keep, and do these statutes, these appointments, commandments, customs, and decrees. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, after that you have gathered in your grain and your wine, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you, your son, your daughter, and your manservant, your maidservant, and the Levite, and the sojourning kinsmen, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within your gates. 7 days shall you keep a solemn feast, and celebrate unto Yahweh your Elohim in the place which Yahweh shall choose. Because Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you in all your increase, and in all the works of your hands, therefore you shall surely rejoice. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before Yahweh your Elohim, in the place he shall choose. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before Yahweh empty-handed. Empty is H7387, Reikam, and means empty-handed, vainly, in empty condition, without effect. Empty-handed today means without knowledge and understanding, without obedience, without participation. The place Yahweh shall choose is a reference to Jerusalem. This is because these commands came before they got to Jerusalem. Today that land is cursed, cursed by Yahweh himself and by his shed blood. Today the place Yahweh shall choose is you, and those whom he draws. We, the people, wherever we are Jerusalem. Moses hands over the reins to Joshua, Deuteronomy 31:10, and Moshe commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the appointed time of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Yisrael is come to appear before Yahweh your Elohim, in the place which he shall choose, you shall read this law before all Yisrael in their hearing. The year of release is the Shemitah. Every 7 years, we are commanded to release our kinsmen of their debts, and is the suspension of indentured servitude. The seventh year release begins during the Feast of Tabernacles. When have the Jews ever forgiven debts and released slaves? They've only enslaved us through their usury, banking, incorporated us through the birth certificate fraud, and were the ones who brought the blacks over to be sold as slaves and taught everyone to blame white people for slavery. After a devastating war with the Benjaminites, which were almost wiped out, the children of Israel provided them with wives which the remaining Benjaminites could claim during a yearly feast. Judges 21:18. Howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Yisrael have sworn, saying, Cursed be he that gives a wife to Benjamin. Because the tribe of Benjamin became apostate, idolatrous homosexuals during this time. Verse 19. Then they said, Behold, there is a feast of Yahweh in Shiloh yearly, in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of Lebanah. Shiloh means a place of rest, a city in Ephraim which housed the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle. It also means tranquil and is an epithet of the Messiah. The related word is shalah shalav, which means to be secure, happy, and be in safety. This yearly feast was likely the Feast of Tabernacles, which symbolizes dwelling in safety with Christ. 1 Kings 8:2. And all the men of Yisrael assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And at that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Mitzrayim, before Yahweh our Elohim, 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. On the 8th day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king, and went unto their tents joyful and glad of heart, for all the goodness that Yahweh had done for David his servant, and for Yisrael his people. They were so zealous for Yahweh's laws and feast days that they celebrated an extra week. When have the churches ever been so zealous for Yahweh and his commands? Never. They are all saved already and waiting around for the rapture, while they identify as trans-Gentiles, eat unclean animals, and worship Jewish Jesus. 2 Chronicles 8:12. Then Solomon offered burnt offerings unto Yahweh on the altar of Yahweh, which he had built before the porch, even as the duty of every day required, offering according to the commandment of Moshe, on the Shabbats, and on the new months, and on the solemn feasts, the sacred and appointed times, 3 times in the year, even in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. Not only are these feasts all sacred appointed days, they are celebrations. They are meant to be joyous as well as reminders of our heritage. But the churches and trans-Gentiles have forgotten who they are and whose they are, and don't celebrate Yahweh's deeds, because the churches are deceived into believing that the Old Testament is about Jews. But they'll celebrate Passover, a perverted version of it. There is more to being covered by the blood of Christ. There are 6 other ways in which we remember what Yahweh has done for us and they are all symbolic too. The churches are only 1/7 Christian, but not really Christian at all, because they don't do anything Yahweh desires. They worship, believe, support, and partake in a counterfeit doctrine, and ignorantly and unwittingly follow the devil and his Jewish children. Ezra 3:1. And when the 7th month was come, and the children of Yisrael were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man in Jerusalem. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required, and afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new months, and of all the set, sacred, appointed times of Yahweh, that were to be set apart, and of everyone that willingly offered a freewill offering unto Yahweh. The returning remnant of Judah returned to Yahweh, his laws, and their heritage, which included keeping these feast days. The law is read and reinstated, Nehemiah 8:14. And they found written in the law which Yahweh had commanded by Moshe, that the children of Yisrael should dwell in booths in the feast of the 7th month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying,
Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written.
So the people went forth and brought them, and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of Elohim, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. Observing the Feast of Booths may be done at home, as stated in verse 16. It's the act of sincerity, gratitude, remembrance, and honor to Yahweh. It's symbolic of leaving evil and of coming out of society, which is not a Christian society. Verse 17. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Yisrael done so in several hundred years, and there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of Elohim, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the 8th day was a meeting of holiness, according unto the manner. The Feast of Tabernacles lasted a week. They stayed in tents, booths, or tabernacles, read the law, and worshipped Yahweh. And there was great gladness. Sounds like Woodstock for saints. We see the people neglected to keep the feasts for several hundred years. That's part of why they went through so many calamities during that time. Psalm 61:3. For you have been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the hated enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will take refuge in the coverings of your wings, Selah. Abide is H1481, ger, which means to sojourn, dwell in, inhabit, continue. Covert is H5643, Sather Sithra, and means a cover, a hiding place, protection, shelter. The symbolism of the Feast of Tabernacles is taking refuge in the covering and protection of Yahweh from this world. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 1:8, And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. The daughter of Zion is Jerusalem. Zion represents Judah. The northern house of Israel was being taken away by the Assyrians. The southern house of Judah in Jerusalem was preserved and protected from the Assyrians because they returned to Yahweh for now. The vineyard is all of Israel. Judah is described as a cottage in the vineyard. Why? Because they reformed and continued to follow Yahweh while the other 10 tribes of Israel were being dealt with for their transgressions. The symbolism of being a cottage or tabernacle in the vineyard is that when you obey and return to Yahweh, you are protected and dwell in safety while chaos reigns outside its boundaries. Here, cucumbers are a delight, while sin, corruption, and destruction are outside of the tended fields. Verse 13.
Bring no more vain oblations, ineffective, futile offerings. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new months and Sabbaths, the calling of sacred assemblies, I am unable to bear unrighteousness, even the sacred meetings.
Matthew 15:9. But in vain they, the churches, do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. 33,000 church versions of what Yahweh commanded. They were so unclean that they were profaning the worship of Yahweh just by their presence. A Judeo-Christian is not a Christian. They are deceived by tainted doctrine. John 9:31. Now we know that Elohim hears not sinners, but if any man be a true worshipper of Elohim, and does his will with true knowledge and understanding, him he hears. Verse 14 of Isaiah.
Your new months and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them.
These verses 13 through 14 are a sign of things to come, the expiration of the Levitical rituals and priesthood. The people lost their sincerity and were just going through the motions of sacrifice. Much like today, denominational doctrine and worship to a Jewish Jesus, which Yahweh hates. Prophecy of Christ. Christ is referred to as a tabernacle. Isaiah 4:6. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain. Isaiah prophesies of the washing away the filth of the daughters of Zion. The good people will be taken out of the land for their own good. This happened when the Babylonians took Jerusalem and brought the people to Babylon. The land will be cleansed, and the returning peoples shall have conformed back to Yahweh. This happened after 70 years in Babylon under the guidance of Ezra and Nehemiah, hence dwelling in safety through this punishment, covered in safety through obedience to Yahweh, the whole meaning of Feast of Tabernacles. Chapter 30 is a prophecy that Judah will be crushed, but Isaiah 30:29, you shall have a song as in the night.
Figurative for adversity.
When a set-apart celebration is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goes with a flute to come into the mountain of Yahweh, to the mighty one of Yisrael. When we sin, and punishment is decreed, if we accept it, and learn from it, and keep Yahweh's holy feasts, he will forgive us and allow us into his kingdom, and we will have gladness of heart. Isaiah 33:20. Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed times. Your eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the inheritance thereof be broken. The Jerusalem of verse 20 is the same as verse 17, afar off. Verse 17, your eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. How can Jerusalem be in the land of Judah and the land that is very far off? This is a dual prophecy. Jerusalem is a reference to the people, Israelites. The Israelites that return from Babylonian captivity shall see the King, Yeshua, in Jerusalem, and the land very far off is a reference to Europe and America. We are his tabernacles, and when we obey and observe his laws and appointed days, wherever we are, not one of us or our inheritance will be removed. Psalm 46:5.
Elohim is in the midst of we Israelites. We shall not be moved. Elohim shall help us with his countenance. Psalm 125:1. They that trust in Yahweh shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. As the mountains that are round about Jerusalem, so Yahweh is round about his people from henceforth even forever.
The land was set aside for the returning remnant of Judah after Babylonian captivity. Yahweh wants them to offer an oblation, or contributions, of the land for suburb sanctuaries, chambers for the Levites, and portions for the people and the prince. Ezekiel 45:16. All the people of the land shall give this oblation, the contribution of just measures and balances, for the prince in Yisrael. The prince would be the future king from the line of David that will return with the remnant from Babylon, which would be Zerubbabel. Verse 17, and it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings, and grain offerings, and drink offerings, in the feasts, and in the new months, and in the Sabbaths, in all the sacred appointments of the house of Yisrael. He shall prepare the sin offering, and the grain offering, and the burnt offering, and the peace offerings, to make reconciliation for the house of Yisrael. All these things were done away with when Christ died, not the law or the food laws, as the churches ignorantly teach. Only the priesthood and its rituals and oblations expired. The priesthood could only atone or cover over or even provide a temporary propitiatory shelter, a tabernacle, for you when you offered your atonement for your sins. The priesthood atonements were only for that year, temporary. This is why when Christ died, the priesthood was done away with, because Yeshua became our high priest, and his blood is the propitiation, or covering over, of our sins forever, something the priesthood of men could never do. That is why Yeshua is our propitiatory shelter.
Hebrews 9:12-8.
When we do that which is right in the sight of Yahweh, and observe these feasts, which are our heritage, the Holy Spirit can shelter us, and Christ can dwell with us when we are tabernacling in righteousness. We no longer bring goats and bulls to the priest to atone for our sins for that year. We now make spiritual sacrifices, which are made when we deny the world and follow the way, when we follow the commandments and statutes, when we show brotherly love, when we study and fellowship, when we witness to our kinsmen, when we observe the appointed times, Sabbaths, and these feast days. Why wouldn't you want to come out of her, my people? Meaning, take a break from the system, the worldly order of arrangement, and really satanic society, and dedicate some of your precious time in this world, and hang out with Yeshua and like-minded kinsmen, and participate in your family heritage, and keep Yahweh's appointed feasts. The Jews taught the churches to teach you not to follow Yahweh's word. The quote,
out of sight, out of mind.
Well, if we lose sight of our ancestors, our family history, and the miracles Yahweh did for our people, then all that becomes out of our minds. This is why the churches are suffocating in their pew and just believe. This is why all 33,000 denominations of so-called Christianity are leading people to the second death. Because they don't know who they are or whose they are. They don't know scriptural doctrine and Yahweh's word or follow it. They don't know that the very people they think are the Israel of the Bible are in fact and in reality the devil's literal children, as Christ stated in John 8:44, and they don't know that Jesus was not a Jew. Hosea prophesied before the Assyrians took the northern 10-tribed house of Israel and much of Judah away. Israel had become idol-worshipping whores and would not return to Yahweh, so he passed judgment and was sending the Assyrians to dish out the punishment. Hosea 2:9.
Therefore will I return and take away my grain in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax, given to cover Israel's nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers and pagan idols, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will also cause all her exaltation to cease. Her feast days, her new months, and her Sabbaths, and all her sacred appointments. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she had said,
These are my rewards that my lovers have given me.
And I will make them a testimony, and the beasts of the field shall eat them.
The children of Israel were blessed by God, but they believed that their blessings came from their lovers, whether idols or from the other nations they fornicated with. At this point, Yahweh had enough and would cause their vain feasts to cease, even his appointed feasts, because they didn't include him in them. The same thing goes on today. The churches worship in vain because they believe their blessings come from Haimi Jesus and the Lord Baal. They are going to realize that the rapture is for the wicked. Hosea 9:1. Rejoice not, O Yisrael, for joy, as other people, for you have gone a-whoring from your Elohim. You have loved a reward for hire upon every grain threshing floor. We are unrecognizable as children of light when we go after other gods and lusts, like Haimi Jesus, pork, and false doctrine that appears as Christianity but is not. Verse 5. What will you do in the appointed day and in the feast of Yahweh? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt, which is a reference to captivity, shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. Nettles possess their valuables of silver. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. When we are not tabernacling with Yeshua Christ, we are in captivity again, and thorns are among us. Exactly the situation we are in now as a nation with Jewish Jesus as their Savior, is the same thing as a nation overgrown with briars and thorns. When Yeshua returns, will you be found tabernacling among the briars and thorns and with Jewish Jesus worshipers? Or will you be tabernacling among your Israelite kinsmen and women and worshiping Yeshua Christ? Don't you know? He's coming again, and all rebels will be destroyed.
Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha.